you to our worship service today. This is a special day in several reasons. It is for our brothers and sisters who are part of the Orthodox Church, which most in Russia and the Ukraine would be. This is their Easter, so we celebrate with them today. It is also World Book Day. So go and buy a book today. And also, I've been music out this past week. On Thursday, had a delightful Pops concert where Sarah Dietrich and Andy Behnke played. And then Friday night, Sherry and I went up to hear Neil Diamond. And then yesterday, had a wonderful recital that Sarah Behnke. And we are blessed each morning with music on Sundays. And it just so happens that today is Mona's birthday. And normally she sings for us, but we're going to return the favor. So on one, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
This couple here, Dr. and Mrs. Henry, really deserve all the credit for having and raising Mona, but she is a blessing. So a couple of announcements. You will notice that because of the insert, I needed to take most of our announcement space for the responsive reading of Call to Worship of Psalm 148. We are collecting our SOSA, Society of St. Andrew, offering that we did during Lent. We are collecting that today. If you have checks for that, you can make it out to the well, put SOSA in the memo line. If you have your little boxes, please just bring them down during the offertory and place them on the altar. Also, we want to give thanks. She's probably resting up today, but had a wonderful showing from our church at Sarah Behnke's recital yesterday, and it did this pastor's heart proud to hear her mentor say that she had never seen that room filled as much for a recital. And I am so honored and joyous to be a part of a congregation that truly is a family that loves one another. And it was also a delightful concert. Any other announcements? Let's go to prayer requests. Any prayer requests this morning? Yes, ma'am, Martha.
Keith Mickey, poet, I guess is the way you pronounce your last name, and Rain. He couldn't come to church because he can't do all right.
So Keith Mickey and Wayne in prayer. Thank you. Also, I have a couple that Mona suggested that she wants to just give praise for her many thanks and unmeasurable blessings. Also, there's an announcement here. Newsletter items are due tomorrow. And then a prayer for her mom and dad and going to bed at 7:30 now and not being able to rest. So they're waking up at 2 a.m. So,
but very rested.
Very rested. But as my senior pastor and professor, my senior, if you needed my permission, you have my permission to sleep during the service if needed. You'd be in good company. You wouldn't be the only one.
I'm from Tennessee. We don't believe in things like that.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Geo Smith is rapidly approaching losing 100 pounds.
Wonderful. Oh, wonderful.
And he has stayed on his new lifestyle required to stay healthy. So we think that the Lord has blessed him greatly.
It's so wonderful that his attitude and lifestyle is now meeting and will support what was done. So that's great. Eager to see him again. So let's keep his family in our prayer. Any others? Let's go to prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day.
Yes.
We thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us. They are beyond number and fresh and new every day. Whenever we wake up, whatever time we arise, we have already been blessed by the God who neither sleeps nor slumbers, who has given us all things in Christ Jesus. And we rejoice in the goodness that you have redeemed us and you have called us to your side. We are wanting you. And truly, I just thank you, Father, for calling me to a congregation where the love that is shared for you and for each other truly is so reflective of the sacrificial love that Christ has. We just thank you for calling us to you, but together. And we just thank you for Mona and for the celebration of her birthday. We just pray that you'll bless her, be with her family. We pray that you would be with Wayne and Nikki as they have such a difficult path. We just pray that you would uphold Wayne and give comfort to Nikki. And we pray that you'll be with those that we think of. I think of Webb and Carrie and just the exhaustive state they are in over so many things that have been going on. And we pray for her extended family, her uncles, in their state of need. We just thank you for calling us together today on this beautiful day in freedom in this wonderful country to praise your holy name. Through your Spirit, may we do so, and may you find our coming together and our worship acceptable unto you and edifying to us. And we ask all these things in your holy name. Amen. Amen. If you'll join with me on the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather only in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God. According to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins.
Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us.
Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us.
Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you look to the back of the bulletin, we'll use Psalm 148 to call each to worship, and then we'll stand and with vibrancy sing 269, He Lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens. You are above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
And he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creature and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princesses and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together, old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Verses 12 through 32. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them and some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with them, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came, and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, but here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Here ends the first reading.
Thank you.
gracious God. We come to you as the God of yes. Your yes in Christ Jesus trumped all the no's that our sin, the world, and the devil could shout. And because in Christ you have said yes to us, we say through your Spirit yes to you. Yes, we were there. We were in Christ as he identified in and through his incarnation, his holy life, his death, which was a propitiation not only for our sins but for the sins of the world. We were there. And praise God, because we were there, we are also there in his blessed resurrection as he has triumphed over all enemies, including and especially death. We walk in the yes of Easter. Lord, our world and our calendar may say that Easter is over. May our faith remind us clearly and loudly that Easter is never over, that your eternal yes rings throughout eternity and in our particular situations. May we, with Peter, understand that whatever we are going through is a momentary light affliction. Not because it's small, but because it's in comparison to the glorious weight of a resurrected Lord who shouts yes to all of us. And because of that, how can we keep from singing? How can we not rejoice? For we are your children. And as your children, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 through 18. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother, and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, and to Pergamum and to Thyatira, and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw the seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." Here ends the second reading.
Thanks. Father, who loves us all in Christ. In his name, amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 20, 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be unto thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. This is the second Sunday of Easter. We are in the Easter. We stay and live and have our being in the Easter season, the resurrected Lord. But it also has another name. Most of you know it. You know the other name of officially of this Sunday? Low Sunday. Because most of the time, it's the lowest attended service of the year. Because people are worn out from Easter and Easter activities, and I know it's been a busy week, so I appreciate all of you that are here today. We pray that your spirit would be present, O Christ, that we would hear your word. We would see Jesus and him alone. In his name we pray. Amen. We are surrounded in life by signs, puzzles, problems, conundrums. Years ago, and it's probably even more fitting today, Winston Churchill said of Russia that Russia was a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. That's true of Russia. It's also true of our in-laws, right? And our spouses, and our employees, and our children, and our grandchildren, and our parents. It's also true of life that it seems to be a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside of enigma. As we read in Acts, life is full of signs and wonders, often hard to understand. Dr. Phil, in his Rules of Life, his number one rule, and it's true, and you know it's true. Dr. Phil's number one law of life is, you either get it or you don't. That's just true. We laugh and we find somewhat adorable Betty White playing Rose on the Golden Girls when she seems so naive and she just doesn't get it. And while it's cute to watch a fictional character who just seems so wrapped up in her own naivete that she doesn't get it, if we're honest, we struggle at times in life with the signs and wonders and mysteries. When we don't get it, and we don't understand it, and we feel like everyone else got the punchline, but it doesn't seem funny. In fact, we don't even understand the joke. In Scripture, signs and wonders happen all the time. In fact, the phrase is used 31 times. We see it in our passage, but it's used more than this, And in Scripture, it's always important. It's called the law of first mention. To find where something is mentioned first in Scripture, it usually, in that context, has some informative function that's what it means throughout. If you look, you will see the phrase signs and wonders is first in Exodus, the 7th chapter, when the people are in bondage and they are under the heavy rule of the Egyptian Pharaoh. And it's in that context that God began to show mighty signs and wonders that were hard to understand. If you look at the 10 plagues and you were honest, even though the end result was good, none of us would have wanted to go through any of those plagues. They were difficult. They were hard to understand. They were mysteries. But this signs and wonders accompany whenever God is doing a new work. In its first mention, it was accompanying God doing the new work of creating a people for himself, the children of Israel. Now we see here in Acts 5, it's also God creating a new people, Easter people, doing a work. And we see several parallels. If you look in Acts 5 on your bulletin insert, we see that there are four different tie-ins that Luke makes between the post-Easter early church and the Exodus. In verse 12, as I referred to, he talks about signs and wonders. In verse 21, he talks about all the Senate. That exact same phrase is used in Exodus 12 when Moses is addressing the new people of Israel. In verse 30, Luke is very clear in Acts, the God of our fathers, again used in Exodus 12. And then in verse 31, where he calls Jesus the leader and savior, the Archos and the Sotor, that exact phrase is used in Deuteronomy 32, verse 15, to speak of Moses. And Stephen, we'll see later in Acts 7, uses that in his sermon. So we see this mystery of God's work. God does work. We know that. And if we're honest, wouldn't you like God to work in a way that you understood better? We sing God works in mysterious ways. But the truth is, we struggle with that. We struggle with how. So, how do we get it? How do we keep from being spiritually obtuse? In the midst of mysteries and signs and wonders and enigmas that we don't understand, and life dealing out ways in which we scratch our heads and sometimes breaks our heart, what do we do? We do exactly what Jesus says to Thomas in the midst of his doubts. He doesn't alleviate Thomas's doubts. He simply says, believe. And he says in verse 29 that Jen read for us in John 20, blessed are those who have not seen. Blessed are those who do not understand. Blessed are those who are overwhelmed with trying to get a handle on this, and yet they believe. Let me rename last week for you. Let me make a pronouncement for you. You all celebrated in one way or the other Easter last week. Do you know what Easter is? You're hearing it from me, and I want you to own this. Easter is your retirement day. Retirement from the job of you having to understand all the mysteries of life. Easter is your retirement day. Because of the resurrected Lord and because of his showing that in the midst of all the riddles and difficulties of life that he breaks forth victoriously, we just have to enjoy being retired. But let me say, because Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4 that we have to sort of strive to enter into rest. You probably know people that have found it hard to retire, don't you? Athletes seem to do that. Farmers seem to do that. Lord, I know preachers, they never want to go away. They just don't retire. And we find it hard to retire. And brothers and sisters, even though we've celebrated many Easters, and we've sung many times that because He lives, we can face tomorrow, and we know that He's got the whole world in His hands, we find it hard to retire from the career we've made of trying to figure out life. Don't we? We do. And see, we'll never enjoy our retirement until we learn that the tools we used before we retire are no longer the tools we need to use. The tools we used before, and that's what Thomas was trying to do, is our sight and our understanding and our rationality. When we had to understand life and it was all up to us, it needed to make sense. And with Thomas, it was like, I'm not going to believe it until I can see it. I'm not going to believe it until I understand it. I'm not going to believe it until I have empirical proof. He forgot that Easter had happened. He had been retired from that job. It was no longer his to try to make life make sense. Jesus Christ did that for us all. He had forgotten that he no longer needed the tools of his eyesight and his reason. He needed the tool of his ear. It's interesting in that passage. We don't know whether or not Thomas touched the wounds, do we? All we know is Jesus said, come here and do it. We don't know if he did. We don't even know if he saw the wound. What we know is he did what? He heard his Savior say, that's not your job anymore, Thomas. Retire. And rest. And just listen. That's why Paul says later that faith cometh from understanding. Is that what he says? No. Faith cometh from figuring it out. Faith coming from it all making sense. Faith cometh from my little puny brain being able to figure it out. No, it says faith cometh from hearing. And that by the word of God. Retire with me, brothers and sisters. Lay down the tools that were ours to use. Let me try to leave you with just three. I always feel like I have to bring it to some practical application. And I try to make it alliterate, so here goes. One, in our attempt to listen. Listen solely. Now, I'm using that as a play on words. Solely means only, but solely as well. Listen personally. See, it's a bad habit among Christians that we listen, try to see what God wants to say to someone else. We listen thinking, what is God trying to tell me to instruct somebody else how to live their life? That's not our job. We listen not for what others would do. As you know, if I'm listening to what God is saying that the other fellow or lady needs to do, it just makes me arrogant and hard to be with. But more importantly than that, if I'm listening for what God is saying others need to do, I am missing that blessed opportunity that God wants me to have to appreciate what He's done. For me. See, C.S. Lewis says that a pastor only has one job. And you may have seen his analogy, and I think it's a fitting analogy. He says that Christians, because of the finished work of Christ, are on a tour bus. And they're driving through the Alps. But the problem is, because we're so used to being in that pre-retirement place, we've got the shades drawn on the bus. And we're going through this beautiful scenery. And we've got the shades down. And he said, too many pastors looking through the transom windows can sort of see what everyone else can't. And we're just telling you how beautiful the mountains are. And how majestic the peaks are, and how wonderful the trees are. And we're just describing to you what we see of the Alps. And Lewis says, that's no Christian's job, much less a pastor. What is our job? To encourage others to put the shades up and to see for themselves and to experience Jesus Christ personally and listen to Him profoundly. You know that joy, don't you? Of often, because of the difficulties of life, going to your knees, figuratively or literally, in tears, wondering what's going on, and somehow Jesus meets you there and comforts and strengthens you there. And nothing out there gets fixed. But what gets tended to is our soul in the midst of that. Listen solely. The second thing, listen simply. This is not complicated. Don't try to make this a religious act or a work that we have to do. Don't try to measure this. This is not some religious work that takes 12 steps and you've got to make another checklist. Do you remember we're retired? Jesus rose. Just listen simply. Take it. Take life as it is. Don't try to figure it out. You all know the Serenity Prayer. The problem is, like most things, if you don't know it fully, you can't appreciate the partial that you know. And most of us don't really have the serenity that Christ wants in our life, because in that prayer in particular, we only know the first part of it. Let me give you the fuller version of Reinhold Niebuhr's The Serenity Prayer, written during the difficulties of world wars and depressions. God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, the courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would like it to be. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Listen simply. We complicate things with religiosity. We just think we have to give the right religious answer. I'm reminded of that joke you may have heard where Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went camping. Do you know this story? And they go camping and they set up their tent and they're sitting around the fire and they had a good meal and they had a bottle of wine, and they decide to go into the tent. And they go into the tent, and they're each in their own sleeping bag, and they're just talking. They fall asleep, but a couple hours later, Holmes wakes up, and he nudges his friend, and he says, "Watson, look to the sky and tell me what you see." And Watson looks up and says, "I see millions of stars." And Holmes says, "Well, what does that mean to you?" And Watson says, after pondering for a minute, "Well, astronomically, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that the time is approximately 3:15. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, I suspect that we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. What does it tell you, Holmes?" Holmes was silent for a minute, and then he spoke. "Watson, you idiot, someone stole our tent." Brothers and sisters, take life as it is. Don't add these layers to it. It doesn't help. It may make you sound more theologically astute to your friends or pastor or others. But that's not worth anything. We don't need to do that. Because Jesus Christ lives today. And we are in retirement mode. So we can just listen simply. Take this world the way it is and let Him be the resurrected Lord. And then the final thing. Listen solely, listen simply, and listen sincerely. Sincerely. The word sincere, as some of you have heard me say or others, is a Latin word that comes from the marketplace. It used to be that craftsmen, artisans that would make pots, and that was largely in some regions the chief commodity. But the problem is when you fire and make ceramic pots or clay pots, they will crack. Well, you don't want to destroy inventory for a simple crack. So what they learned is they could fill in the cracks with wax, paint over it, and sell it. And unsuspecting customers would get what looked like a genuine product. Except the heat of the day comes. And you can only imagine that once the heat of the day comes, that wax would melt and people would discover that they had cracked pots and had been swindled. So in order to prevent that, merchants learned, honest merchants that is, that they would mark the good, legitimate pots, the authentic pots, and it would be the Latin for without wax or sincere. Without wax. It doesn't mean you don't have flaws and cracks. It means you're not trying to cover them in. We don't need to cover in our flaws. We don't need to try to hide our sins and our problems and our failings. Jesus Christ died for those. They've been taken care of. So we can live sincerely without wax as we are. We listen sincerely for Him. One of my favorite stories is called, as you've probably heard it, it's an old story about a Native American and his friend that went to New York City. And they're in Times Square. And all of a sudden, the Native American guy looks at his friend and says, "I hear a cricket." And he goes, "How can you hear a cricket? There's lights and noises. I mean, we're being drowned out by the sounds of Times Square with all the activity. How can you hear a cricket?" He says, "I hear a cricket." And he goes and he looks, and a block away, he finds a potted plant, and in the potted plant on one of the leaves is a cricket. And his friend said, "Man, you must have just supernatural hearing ability." He said, "No, I'm just like you. I hear what I'm listening for." Brothers and sisters, what are you listening for? Like Thomas, he was listening for his Savior to say, "I hear your concern. Come unto me." Let us close together with a sonnet. I've been mesmerized recently with a book of a professor of literatures created sonnets for the whole life of Jesus in the Gospels, and they're wonderful. And I'm going to try to read it. I wish Sarah Benke was here to read it for me. She'd do a better job. As you know, a sonnet is made up of three quatrains, and each quatrain it has four lines, and it ends with a rhyming couplet. And this is called Peter's Reply. Peter's Reply, as we see in Acts 5:20. Listen as I close with this. Down from the mountain, Peter saw the light. Jesus' sermon cleansed his unbelief. And finally, the eager vicar got it right. After many mistakes, they gave him grief. He hungered after Jesus' holy word. No one else brought life into his flesh. that raised him up, no one he had heard, spoke truth that satisfied him and refreshed. His being, no philosopher who tried to change his mind had ever changed his heart. Here stood the truth incarnate at his side, the very God of gods to light the dark. Christ's waters quenched his dry and thirsty soul. His body and blood had made him whole. You believe that, brothers and sisters? Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our duty and our joy to give you thanks and praise, Lord God of heaven and earth, because you are continually renewing your work of creation and transforming it to show your glory, the resurrection. With your touch, you formed us from the dust of the earth. You raised your people from slavery in Egypt. You bound them to you through your covenant on Sinai. And you made yourself known to them in exile and the promised land. In the cross of Jesus, you take into yourself the scars of our sin. And in his resurrected body, you invite us to touch the wounds of your love. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Forgiving God, your Son's disciples cowered behind locked doors, and yet in him you visited them on the evening of resurrection and breathed on them the spirit of peace. Breathe that Holy Spirit upon us now, that your church may know the power of your forgiveness, and that these gifts of bread and wine would be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took the bread, gave you thanks, blessed the bread, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ is
dead.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Lord and God, intimate Savior of our lives and cosmic ruler of the universe, in Jesus you are the substance of things hoped for and the knowledge of things unseen. Visit any who struggle under the shadow of doubt. Minister among all who suffer beneath the claims of oppressive rule. Resurrect your children, your church, and your earth. Bless those who have not seen and yet believe, and shape your wounded body, the church, to let the world see you through its scars. Lift every voice to sing your Easter glory until the day when all stand before your throne in eternal communion with one another and with you, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our Lord and Savior said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened." Labor is that physical burden, that physical exhaustion. The heavy laden or heavy burden is the even more exhausting burden of those that no one can see, that are in your heart and mind, that you labor under. He says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." This is that Lord's table, his table, and he invites all who love him in sincerity and truth to come and to receive rest for your souls, healing for your spirits, and his eternal life that lives forever. This is our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
Gracious Lord, we thank you for having fed us with your very body and blood. We hear the promise that those who eat your flesh, drink the living water, will never hunger again, will never thirst again. As we move through this world, and hunger pains and thirst rise up, may we remind ourselves through the power of the Holy Spirit of your promise, forever and perfectly settled in the heavens through your finished work. And may we feast on Christ again and be strengthened. We thank you for your presence, your promise, and your love that upholds us now. In that name and through that name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and close with our final hymn. Upon you and give you peace both for now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.